This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
A bunch of good guests coming up later this hour.
Yeah, Wally Walker, who crafted the miracle at Landover for Virginia in 1976 at Capitol Center. The winner of the Case Award for the Cavaliers of Terry Holland will join us from Seattle at about 8:30 Eastern Time. Amari Robinson will also be here from Clemson. By the way, thank you for doing this. Special shout out to Coach Drizel for sending us some information and some packets and some memorabilia. I got a Lefty Drizel trading card this morning. Very excited about that. Coach Drizel, Maryland.
Got your business card there. You might
all right,
keep that one.
I got that down there. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate that. All right, miracles on this date where we remember the miracle on ice, the miracle at Landover with Wally Walker joining us. Other ACC miracles. Let's, you know, now remember all this sparked off Lake Placid 42 years ago.
I remember it.
Come on. It wasn't 42, was it? It was last week, right? What are we doing?
This was a great night in American sports history.
It's a Friday night. The game had taken place that afternoon, and it was replayed on ABC on Friday night. Let's go out to the hockey venue. Here's Al Michaels and Ken Dryden. And all of a sudden, this dominates the landscape.
You know, there haven't been that many sports moments that have united a country. But that one did.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you got to understand, again, we're not going to talk politics on the show, but given the political situation at the time in 1980 of the USSR and the US of A, this became personal. Yeah. And those guys, again, I couldn't tell you the difference between the blue line and the red line back then, but man, you were dialed in this entire country watching the Americans, USA, win that, and it was awesome. Al Michaels' call, awesome. Everything about it, like I said, the whole country was dialed in watching it.
Yeah. So it brings us to this topic of miracles. So certainly UVA in 1976 at Capitol Center, the sixth seed to win the ACC tournament. Back then, that was basically unheard of.
Yeah, they only won four regular season games, and they had to beat the top three seeds, and they went bang, 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 stormed the court.
Yeah.
Wonderful Wally.
I mean, so, you know, Wally Walker, they get to the championship game, and then, you know, Ivor Roney takes over. You got Billy Langlow, he was terrific in the documentary last night.
I loved when they had the conversation after winning the semis, and they were like, how are we going to play? I mean, they were exhausted. And then they got to play North Carolina, who had, of course, the bye because of there only being seven teams and so forth. And then they put on a, you know, an effort for the ages.
In 2001, we had the Miracle Minute at Cole Fieldhouse. Now, if there are any Maryland fans watching this morning, you can just turn. You might want to look away here for a minute because Jay Williams brought Duke from 12 down with a minute five to go before winning in overtime, 98-96. And I remember this, Pack. This was unbelievable watching this happen.
This aired recently because we celebrated the anniversary of this game, and I had forgotten that ESPN lost the feed down the stretch, and I believe it was Chris Fowler that basically said, hey, we'll go ahead and get this thing back together, and they did. And then you saw this finish, which was just ridiculous. Still one of my favorite barns of all time, Cole Fieldhouse. Man, what a great place to watch a game.
Move away from men's basketball and slip to football. Wasn't that long ago that Georgia Tech beat Florida State on the Miracle on Techwood Drive. Aguayo's kick blocked. And this is Lance Austin. Turning the corner, that's Jamal Golden, number four, going to help him with the last edge, maybe. No, Lance, just go ahead and score.
That was crazy.
Unbelievable game. Unbelievable finish.
Georgia Tech has had some, you know.
Oh, yes, they have.
You know, I'm sitting there watching it. I was thinking all the games that you called of the Georgia Tech Clemson series, which had some bizarros. Oh, the
Calvin Johnson catch. Oh, and
bizarros.
Well, and don't forget, you had Dennis Scott against Carolina in 1988.
Yeah,
or in 89, rather.
You have seen some, man.
Oh, yeah.
You've been a part of them.
How about Arike Ogunbowale's three to win it for Notre Dame and Muffet McGraw in the national championship, right?
And not only the semis and the national championship. What a shot this was.
Great call by Adam Amin, by the way.
And I still remember seeing Muffet, and she was still almost like in disbelief. Like, did that really just happen? Again, she's like, what, huh? Yeah. Oh, my God. We just won the national championship.
Yep.
Still sporting those scarves back then, man. Yep. Muffet, man. Always in style.
I think you saw this last night. It was chronicled in the second episode last night, which would be, what, six? Yes.
Last night, we had 5 and 6.
Yep. Lorenzo Charles's dunk off the pass from Derek Wittenberg.
You know, it was fascinating last night watching the documentary of what this NC State team had to do in the ACC tournament. And as I was watching it again last night, again, 1983, which is hard to believe still, kind of like the Miracle on Ice thing. But you're watching that last night, and I kept thinking about watching them celebrate how they pulled this thing off to win the ACC tournament, to get the opportunity just to get in the NCAA tournament. And you're thinking, little did any of them know that wasn't even the tip of the iceberg of what they were getting ready to do, right? I mean, just for that team to just get to the tournament was ridiculous.
Yeah.
To win it was absurd, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that really, really was phenomenal. And the other thing that was cool, I thought last night, to work backwards real quick, was Derek Wittenberg talking about that Jim Valvano wanted his guys to practice cutting down the nets. I thought that was – I'd never heard that before prior to last night.
Oh, you hadn't heard that?
I never heard
that.
And I was thinking, man, what a brilliant coaching move. It just puts in the back of your head, and guess what, guys? This is the expectation. Mm-hmm. Understand this is what we're going for. And for them to be cutting down the nets after winning, knocking off Ralph Sampson, beating Virginia, beating Carolina, figuring out a way to get there. I mean, even today you look back at that and go like, how did that really happen?
Yeah.
But it did.
And V was one of those guys, he turned that into a story. I heard him tell the story of the practice where they cut down the nets, and Valvano would always say, well, the reason we did it is because, you know, I didn't want any of my players to get up there and, like, you know, when you cut down a net, people take pictures of everybody who cuts down the net, right? And you have a photo for the rest of your life of yourself cutting down the net. And Valvano said, he joked with his team, and when I heard him speak one night and he'd said this, he goes, I didn't want anybody, you know, looking goofy up there cutting down the net or falling off balance and things like that. And it was funny because Terry Gannon one time also said that they remembered everything he said while he was joking during the practice. The guys would get together, they put the one guy, because they didn't have the ladder, push the guy up. And then Cozell McQueen and Alvin Battle got on the backboard in Albuquerque that night. I mean, it's a great moment. And NC State had one this year. Carter Finley Stadium, Friday after Thanksgiving. How about this one, right? They score late, they recover an onside kick. Beat Carolina 34-30, 2 TDs in 26 seconds, Pac.
Well, Grant Gibson was on the show yesterday, and I kidded around with him. I said, how'd you feel about 3 minutes ago? And he's like, I knew we were going to score twice. I mean, so that's that inner confidence where, again, give Dave Dorn all the credit and his staff that, hey, we're going to win this game. Even though, I got to tell you, sitting on the couch, it's like, man, they're toast.
Yeah.
There's no way Mac Brown loses this game. He did. Great win, though, for State.
Here's Grant Gibson from yesterday's show, the NC State Center.
Be honest, look me right in the eye. With 3 minutes to go in that North Carolina game, you had him right where you wanted him, didn't you?
Yeah, because we have Devin Leary. Like, everybody laughs at me when I say this, but with Devin Leary, there's no fear in my heart. I know that he's going to come out there and play hard. And the one thing about him is he's so calm. He doesn't get rattled. So he was like, listen, we're going to go score twice. And that's what we did. So, I mean, like, when you look at it, that was actually a very cool way to end the season. But Devin Leary gives me all the faith in the team that I need.
Great talking with Grant Gibson.
Man, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Yep.
Really good.
Look forward to having him back. All right, a couple more here. We're really going to show the laterals?
Duke Miami, absolutely. You have to show this game. I know the officiating department in Greensboro don't want to see this.
Oh, they're running for under the desk.
There's 11 missed calls here, but I don't care.
Man,
this was an incredible play. This was our Cal Stanford game.
Yeah, it was. Look at this. Okay, one. Did he?
Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. Never saw one like this.
Yeah, not like this one. Nope.
This play was so goofy.
Yeah, it was. Crazy. might have been down.
Think?
Is that behind the line? Is that in front of the line? That's behind the line. Okay. Now let's start working down the field, kids. What do you say? Look at everybody get tired. The more I watch the ring. Oh, that block right there is lights out. There comes another
boink,
one.
Boink,
boink. Here comes one. That's it.
He gone.
Yep. Is that just not crazy?
I like the guy in the end zone throwing a sheet up here at the very top of your screen.
That's the, I think that might be the sports information representative.
Be. Has to be. Whoever that was.
All right.
What a moment.
We're going to get to your calls at 844.
David Cutcliffe after the game. That was a miracle that he didn't hurt anybody after that game.
No. 844 say ACCN and some of your social media. We got one more here. We're going to run one more before we go to break, I think. Which one are we going to run here, Josh?
That's a miracle.
Oh, we are? Let's go. Let's show Hail Flutie, because here's another gold standard in sports history.
Without question.
Right? Because Doug, I mean, there's a statue to this play, right? Failing in the end zone, Musburger on the call. Look at this thing.
Oh, I remember when it happened, you're like, you've got to be kidding me.
Right.
That old 22 could ball, though, man.
Oh, my God.
First time I met him, he's about 5'8". You're like, how's this guy going to play? Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
All right, we got more to come. We'll get to your social media and get to your calls on the other side. Greatest miracles in ACC history. We have had some good ones here on social. We'll dig into those when we come back on the other side. Coming up, bottom of the hour, Wally Walker, the star of Virginia's 1976 ACC tournament title, and Amari Robinson will join us from Clemson's women's basketball program. Oh, Charlie Moore from half court. All that and more coming up. Packer and Durham continues on a Tuesday.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, busy hour coming up. Chester, praying to the gods.
Sorry, Chester.
Doing a little skydiving there. Life's good. Brother Fuller, he's over there with his buddy Wes. Life's all right. Back to normal.
Fuller came over and laid down on my foot, and it felt like somebody dropped Chester drawers on my toe.
Yeah, human touch. That's what he's all about.
Good loves to see you, big boy. How you doing there?
You. Yeah. Good seeing you again.
All right, let's give you a couple more here before we get to some of your socials and phone calls as well, 844-SAY-ACCN. Charlie Moore's half-court shot. We talked about that. That was one we mentioned. That's one this year. And you think about it, before the Hokies lost on Saturday to Carolina, that Charlie Moore shot's the only thing standing in the way of a 7-game win streak. Tell you what, the old coach adage was right. Throw it on the square, it'll go in more often than not. And Charlie's off to Pulaski. He took off. And Mike Young and Jim Larrañaga. Mike Young's like, that go in? Yes, that went in.
Unfortunately for the Hokies, that was good.
Somewhere along the way, Macri snuck in the 2016 Syracuse comeback against Virginia, rallying from 16 down against the top-seeded Cavaliers.
Well, I mean, that was an incredible comeback.
Yes, it was.
I remember watching it going, man, is Virginia going to lose this game? And they certainly did. No doubt about it.
Oh, give me the Michael Benajay still photos here.
And Syracuse, of course, does crazy stuff in March, man. We've seen this Jim Boeheim movie before. They get rolling in February and roll it right into March and off to the races they go.
Good to see Trevor Cooney. There's Boeheim. Yeah.
Smile on the face.
United Center
going to
in Chicago.
Final Four, boys.
Yeah, look at all that, right?
Pack your bags. Here we go.
Tyler Lydon, rest of the Orange. Good for them. Malachi Richardson. Frank Reich. This is one you get to see every once in a while. They'll spin this around on the dial. Now, remember, this is the guy that also engineered one of the great NFL playoff comebacks.
Bills.
Yeah. Yep. Bills and the Oilers. Well, one day at the Orange Bowl, Merlin, the Terps make a miraculous comeback. Down 31-0 at the half. They come back to beat Miami 42-40.
This game was on Jefferson Pilot. And I remember walking out at halftime going, I thought that game would be pretty good. Man, it's a blowout. Catch you later.
Yeah.
And then came back later in the day and realized, what? Maryland won the game? How'd that happen?
Exactly right. So let's get to some of the social reaction, shall we? Christopher King has submitted to us the John Gilchrist ACC tournament run in 2004.
Yep.
He said that should be on the list, but I would go with Wake Forest being in two championship games and winning one within the last 15 years. I would have loved to put some coin on that in the summer of 2006.
Probably right about that.
Right?
100% right.
Yeah.
I'm John Gilchrist, though, got off now.
Yeah. Good. He's talking about football championship game for Wake Forest. Yeah.
Of course.
But, yeah, John Gilchrist is – now, you were talking about a lead diminishing – Duke is blasting Maryland at halftime of the 04 championship game, and Gilchrist single-handedly gets it to overtime and wins it.
Yeah, and Duke at that time totally dominating the ACC tournament.
In fact,
you're getting ready to find out in the documentaries coming up, from what I hear.
Yeah, if you if Duke doesn't win that one, they win eight straight.
They were just wearing people out.
Embarrassing people in the championship. Yep. That stretch is true.
But that was, you know, getting real before we get the next one. In my opinion, Duke Maryland had surpassed Duke Carolina as the rivalry in the league
in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
agree with that. I think that that was also the transition. That was that era, Matt Doherty to Roy Williams too.
Right.
North Carolina, now, Carolina had a moment here or there, but that was about it.
Yeah, North Carolina lost its identity for a while, and Duke just was just Duke.
Yeah.
Right. And Kay in his prime, rocking and rolling.
Right.
And Maryland was really, Gary Williams' teams were great, and the animosity between those two fan bases. When they got together, it didn't matter if it was a Cameron or a Cole Fieldhouse or whatever the case may be. Well, man, they were great games.
Well, think about this. In 01, you had the miracle minute at Cole, and that seemed to just make the whole deal flammable.
Yeah.
And then in 04, you had this thing in Greensboro where Gary Williams finally won his ACC tournament title with a great effort by John Gilchrist. And by the way, along those same lines was when Gary was also winning the national championship.
I mean, I'm telling you, that
they were
was,
playing in the Final Four.
That was the rivalry in this league was Maryland and Duke.
Yep.
Sure was.
Yep. Kev says 2016, Chris Blewett's 48-yard field goal for Pittsburgh.
Yep.
To beat Clemson 43-42. Tigers only had to look in the mirror that day.
Yep.
Clemson was its own worst enemy in the second half, and Pittsburgh took advantage of it.
Yep, 100% right. And I'll be honest with you, Wes, I think that game – really was the one that jump-started Clemson, because after lost that game, they go on to win the national title. If you remember, a couple weeks prior to that, if I'm not mistaken, NC State's got a chippy for the win.
Right.
Right? And they blow the chip shot field goal and then lose in overtime. And you're thinking, oh, that's the bullet that, that Clemson's dodged. No, it turned out to be that game with Pittsburgh. And the old shovel pass, man, Clemson hadn't figured that thing out all year, all game long.
That's
and
true.
Deshaun Watson had a bunch of plays where – they had third and one, fourth and one, and all they got to do is convert it. The game's over. Didn't get it. Pitt goes down, kicks the field goal, wins the game. Pat Narduzzi walking around going, well, yeah, we own this place. Let's go.
Yeah. So Chris Blewett's field goal. Brad says, 1991, when Duke beat Vegas in the semis in Indianapolis after losing the national title game by 30 the year before in Denver.
I was at that game, and I've told you the story, because the game before was Kansas beating Dean in Carolina.
Pete
Dean
Pottier
got tossed.
Yeah.
And that's the day Bill Guthridge ran after the referee, and they pinned him up in the lane, which underneath where I was sitting.
Yeah.
You could see the whole thing. And then the next game was that game, which was big, bad, mighty Vegas going, oh, yeah, we get Duke again. Yeah, watch this. And Kay and the boys win it and then go on to win the national title. Might have been as good a national semifinal day as I can remember. Duke, Vegas, Carolina, Kansas.
Yeah. At the Hoosier Dome.
Whew, it was fantastic.
That place was rocking,
oh,
wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
That place could get loud. People don't realize how loud that spot could get.
It was such a great day of basketball. And the other thing, too, I remember about that is you had all the Duke fans, you know, really, they were kind of mum for the most part in the first. And then when Kansas looked like they were going to get
Carolina, jumped on in.
And as soon as Dean got tossed,
that was it.
Forget it.
No.
They had, it was, you might as well have been playing in Cameron. I mean, it was just nuts that day.
Last one here. Carolina Duke 1974. This was in the documentary last night. Carolina down 8 points with 17 seconds left. And Drew just says Heels/Duke 74, Walter Davis. And that's really all you need to say, because Walter Davis hit about a 25, 28-foot shot off the glass to tie the game, send it to overtime. The great trivia piece of that game is, who was Duke's coach that day? That's the great question.
And?
Neil McGahee.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Neil McGahee's only year coaching Duke, because Bucky Waters, R.C. Bucky Waters, had left Duke prior to the start of the season, and Neil McGahee was his top assistant. We lost Coach McGahee, who later was an unbelievable sports marketing guy, as you know.
Great guy.
AD at Lenoir Ryan did a phenomenal job. But Coach McGahee was the head coach of Duke that year in the 8.17-second
That's a good bar bet.
Yeah. All right, let's get to George in South Carolina before we get to Wally Walker. George, good morning.
Good morning, man. Take you back to January of 1980, about a month before the Miracle on Ice. You ever heard of Les Henson, Virginia Tech?
Yes, sir.
Well, they were down in Tallahassee playing Florida State in the old Tully Gym. And late in the game, right at the end of the game, Florida State was ahead, missed a foul shot. Les Henson got the rebound. And he was a left-handed guy, but he heaved it the length of the court, right-handed. They said it was 94 feet. Made it and beat them, and that was in the Guinness Book of World Records for a good while.
That is, yep, absolutely right. A great moment. I think that was a Metro game, Pac.
Miracle.
The Metro Conference.
Yep.
Virginia Tech and Florida State. Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Everybody's got one, man.
Shoot. They happen. Stuff like that. My last broadcast at Elon, High Point, Chris Winland turned and threw a ball from the opposite foul line to the other end of the floor offhanded, and it went in to tie the game and send it to overtime.
They win or lose?
Elon lost in overtime.
Man.
I know.
Can't spell Elon without an L.
You're awful. Can't spell Clemson without one either sometimes.
Well, a lot of them lately.
Sit tight. When we come back, off to the Pacific Northwest, up early. This is officially up early.
I'm ready for this one.
Wally Walker joins us next. Packer and Durham. We go back to 1976. Capital Center at Landover, Maryland, and the magic of the Cavaliers in their first ACC tournament title next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I was feeling it. If I got open, I was going to make the shot.
He's hot again. He's on a roll. He's out to prove something that he should have made first team, that he was one of the best five players in the conference. And this was kind of his redemption in process.
Wally Wonderful. Wally Wonderful was what he was called, and Wally just had the game of his life. I mean, bucket after bucket.
A couple of my friends mentioned how many times I was on him and he was getting a shot off on me. They did make that reference.
Behind Walker's 27 points, Virginia eliminated Maryland, pulling off its second straight upset and qualifying for their first ever ACC Finals.
It just seemed like all hell broke loose after we beat Maryland. Everybody in Virginia was going crazy. But for our team, it was a little different because we were exhausted.
None of us had ever played three games in three nights in our lives, at least formally, let alone in the ACC tournament. Billy Langland and I are roommates, and I do remember the next morning, Lang saying to me, "How are we going to play tonight?"
If Virginia was going to win their first ACC title, they were going to have to unseat defending champion, North Carolina. It was a matchup that held extra meaning for Coach Terry Holland.
Right after Coach Holland became the coach of Virginia, Coach Smith evidently said on a radio program that Virginia wouldn't win an ACC game that year. So that there were some hard feelings there is an understatement.
I think we created a rivalry with them after the Dean Smith words. I had put in my locker a picture of Dean Smith, and he motivated me the entire season. So I was very excited about the fact that we were going to be going against them
The fourth-ranked North Carolina team was one of Dean's best, featuring five future first-round NBA draft picks. They were led by All-Americans Phil Ford and Mitch Kupchak, who both, unlike Wally Walker, had been chosen for the All-Conference first team. The Tar Heels were also fresher, having earned a first-round bye.
We really didn't know how we were going to summon up enough energy to play a championship game. We weren't sure of that. And they were loaded, so we weren't going to out-talent them. But the focus for us was, we got a game tonight. It's historic for us because we've never been to a championship game before. So, you know, hey, let's just, you know, play him and see what happens.
Next Monday night, parts 7 and 8 of the tournament documentary premiere, episode 7, 84 to 89. And then that is followed by episode 8, which is 1990 through 97, right here on ACC Network. And streaming live on the ESPN app, and of course presented for you by New York Life. There you go.
Let's do it. Wonderful Wally.
Ready to go. Pacific Northwest, our next stop. Wally Walker gets the up early in Adam. My goodness, it's 5:30 in Seattle. You are you're unbelievable to join us. Thanks, Wally. Great to see you.
Great to be here. And a couple things. One, Seattleites know how to caffeinate. If we know nothing else, we know that. And we have a puppy, and she doesn't care about my sleep schedule. So anyway, I'm glad to be with you guys.
It has to be cool reliving this, right? I mean, I'm just, you know, Wes and I are junkies and watching this documentary, which has been so fantastic, going from era to era, to see what you guys pulled off in 76. What's it like putting your feet up and going, man, those were the good old days?
Yeah, I got chills, and I got a flash right now just thinking about it. And the best part, and this is not a revelation, but it is a reminder, is reconnecting with people you care about, old friends, and the connection that sports makes unlike anything else. And for me to sit here and watch a couple old teammates of mine, Mark Ivoroni and Phil Ford, and I were teammates in the NBA for a year in Houston, to give nice shout-outs really, really touched me.
You know, Wally, it's interesting because – the story of Virginia winning in Landover was so unexpected because, as we were trying to tell folks earlier in the week and in previous episodes, the goal of Maryland seemingly was to get the event out of North Carolina at that time. And when it went to Landover, it was a big deal. But when you guys beat Maryland in the semis, there was no thought of kind of like Virginia continuing the run, right? And it was like you guys had exhausted kind of both your chips in the deal, so to speak. And I thought, as Mark said earlier in the show, the conversation between you and Billy Langlow about how are we going to do this, that really did hit home with me all these years later about what you then did do on Saturday night.
Yeah, I have a clear recollection of he and I because Coach Holland let us sleep in. We didn't have a shoot around that morning after playing the two previous nights. And as we were waking up, we were still laying in bed saying, how are we going to summon the energy to play this game tonight? And knowing full well that Virginia had never even been to a championship game before, knowing somehow we'd show up, but didn't have any knowledge, any experience in what that energy would look or feel like.
You know, the other thing too, and I'm glad it was pointed out in the documentary, Dean Smith's comments fueling people, because I grew up an NC State fan, and anytime Dean Smith said anything somewhat derogatory, man, people would blow it up like crazy. But I mean, he made it pretty clear. Yeah, hey, guess what? Here's what I think about Virginia. And it really did fuel what turned out to be a tremendous rivalry moving forward.
It did. And Coach Holland and he had a little something going on, which was, I think, you know, healthy competitive circumstance. But, you know, he said on a North Carolina radio station in those days, obviously way before the internet, it didn't always get disseminated. But Coach Holland's from North Carolina and someone told him about it. And then there was a recording and yeah, I learned last night for the first time that my teammate Mark Ivoroni had Coach Smith's picture in his locker. That's a little scary to me, but now I know it.
Wally, what was it about your team that year? Because, I mean, it's almost like one of those we should have expected it to happen. I mean, you were – and again, on-floor performance in conference play maybe kind of soured it. But, you know, I look at all the pieces you guys had, Ivoroni, Langlow – I mean, Castle, and there were several guys that played key roles in just your success in Landover. Now, you had all the scoring, and you played great. There's no doubt about that. But together, combined, y'all were a really good basketball team.
we got good. We didn't start out that way, and we relied on a couple of freshmen that didn't get enough credit in the documentary in general. Bobby Stokes, now Dr. Robert Stokes, MD, and Otis Fulton both played great for us. Bobby Stokes hit clutch free throws. He was a guy from small town Virginia, not highly recruited, and a year before that he was playing in small town high school, and now he hits a couple of the biggest free throws in UVA history in the ACC tournament. Otis was really good. And then part of the reality, and I have to admit it to myself, is I wasn't very good the year before. I was hurt and didn't play that great. Coach Holland's first year, and I think he was looking at me saying, really? I thought this guy had a reputation. And so, you know, my health and improvement also was a factor that I think prognosticators might not have figured about.
Well, I was goofing around with Wes this morning and watching that last night. It dawned on me, it's the only time I can ever remember an ACC tournament where there was a court storming. And I know it was mentioned that the Virginia fans were just euphoric, going, oh, my God, we're going to win the ACC championship. What I did not know, though, and I want you to tell me, is when you got back to Charlottesville, what was that like? It just had to be, you had to be walking on air for the rest of your life on the grounds.
We did, and maybe a little too much so, because we had an NCAA game the next week that maybe we were too pleased with ourselves. I have a funny recent story about that celebration. Not like we had any experience or had anything in mind for a rehearsal and how to do it, unlike what I learned about what Jim Valvano did with the Wolfpack. But a guy stops me at a Virginia game a couple years ago, and I'm back there, and he says, do you recognize me? And I said, well, frankly, no. And he said, well, I'm the guy that hoisted you up on my shoulders for that celebration. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, sorry, I don't recognize you, but man, you're a strong dude, because you have me on your shoulders for a long time. But the other part of it was, hey, man, I never really did see your face. So, you know, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you.
I told Packer, though, Wally, it felt like, going back and looking at it, the Capitol Center wasn't really thinking about game management much that night. I mean, it was their first time hosting the tournament, and you guys do a great job in the documentary talking about, you can feel the Virginia fans getting closer and closer to the floor. And Pack's right. I've never seen it happen in another ACC tournament since.
Well, I mentioned we had free time to look around, and you can see our fans just poised. They were ready to make their sprint, their bolt. And to what you're saying, it wasn't like security is what we have now. It was, okay, you know, you go.
Terry Holland, it was always, I thought, the perfect fit for Virginia. You know, a gentleman, kind of understated, you know, it was always prim and proper. What was it like playing for him? Because there was a fieriness to Terry, I'm sure, behind the scenes.
Well, he helped all of us, but he really helped me, because he demanded of me to play a little defense. And by the way, if you guys can stop showing that spin move David Thompson put on me where I was in like another zip code, I'd be okay with that. We've seen a lot of that one. But that happened a lot, too. That wasn't the only move that happened to. But he made demands of us. And by the way, he set a standard both for conditioning. Mm-hmm. And he planted the seed the year before. In the ACC tournament, we lose to NC State again. You know, they were the defending champion, and we were down big and came back and made a run, and we're sitting in the locker room and that loss ensured a losing season for us. Okay. And he said to us, hey, proud of the way you guys came back, the way you battled, and next year we're going to be playing for the championship. And we're sitting in the locker room looking around saying, where's that from, coach? We've shown no evidence that's going to happen. But the seed was planted. Hey, we could do something here. It's in the realm of possibility for us. And then, As I mentioned, we had a young team that got better the following year, and that's what happened.
By the way, it should be noted that you're one of two walkers that appear in the documentary. Your brother Sam, who wrote a book on the history of ACC basketball, appears in the early episodes of 1 and 2. In fact, you emailed me about it, and I had seen one of those episodes, and I'd totally forgotten it. But that must be something special for you and him, to be in this thing.
Oh, no doubt. My brother Sam, his PhD is from Maryland, but is a Virginia fan, or was at least back in the day. Is a historian by training, has written a number of books, and wrote one on the history of the ACC. And he also wrote one germane to last night in the previous episodes, which was about how 1974 season changed everything with the NCAA tournament and Maryland losing the way they did. And that game and that season being recognized the way it was just one of the interesting aspects of the documentary.
How cool is it, though? I mean, number one, looking back at it, knowing that, hey, we were the first ones to knock the door down, and now you see what Tony Bennett has built.
Yeah.
Not only the new facility, everything else, it's become kind of standard, and here goes Virginia again. That's got to feel good, too, right? I mean, given the fact that you guys are the foundation.
Tony is one of the great coaches in the country, and we Virginia fans think he's the best, and he's such a wonderful guy, and some people are different than their public image. He's not. He's just as genuine and as good as everyone thinks or should think. And what a job he's done. He's just the right guy for Virginia and for the institution and the way he honors our tradition. And I stay in touch with him intermittently and hope to play golf in some this summer again because you know, he's the kind of guy you want to be around.
Wally, in some respect, I know you live out in the Seattle area and have been out there for many years, but how often does 76 come up? I'm curious, just because it's such a sentinel moment, feels like, for Virginia and their basketball history in the ACC.
More than I would have guessed, with this amount of time, I mean, obviously relative to 76 for the 46 years, I don't think I was tracking the 1930 Wahoos. I'm pretty sure I wasn't with the 46 years. So the fact that anybody cares or remembers, and we were on a video from last night for other people to see, is a great honor, and it does come up. And you know, my kids are younger, and well, my wife too didn't see me play way back in the day, those many years. So it's a thrill for me to be able to share a little bit of the ancient history with them.
That's by awesome. The way, Phil Ford's going to join us next hour. Anything you'd like to pass along to Phil, given the relationship?
You know, we ask him about, if you have time, I know you're talking about the tournament, but we were teammates, the 83-84 Houston Rockets, whose center, by the way, was the rookie of the year named Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
So that was a team that was responsible now for the NBA having a draft lottery because it was so evident. Phil and I were scrambling at the end of our careers to try to hang on and, you know, play well and see if someone would pay us another year. In my case, they would not. But that team, it was evident. What was the dictate from up above was lose the last game, which we did effectively the last 10. We had a pretty good team, pretty talented team, but I'd be curious what his reaction memories of that team was. But he's a great guy, was a great player, and we spent a lot of time together that season.
We have done this with a couple other guys. I know you've been in Seattle a long time. You played for the Sonics. There's always talk of potentially the NBA returning to that area. Bring folks up to speed on what you're doing. I know people are as curious about now as they were what you did when you played for Virginia.
Yeah, I've been saying this for too long, but I believe it, and someday it will be true. Seattle's going to get an NBA team back, but it's kind of a rolling 5 years. I've been saying that within the next 5 years since 2008 when the Sonics left. There's now a new arena. They'll get first crack at getting a team. I've been involved with the group, and we thought we'd bought the Sacramento Kings in 2013 to move them up here, and the NBA said, no, you're not. But we had a signed binding agreement that didn't get fulfilled. But the NBA fully recognizes this is a great available market. They know the legacy of the Sonics being here for 41 years. So I'm confident when there's an available franchise via probably won't move, but maybe something happens like what happened to Seattle in 08 or an expansion franchise that we'll get a great shot at it. And then the new ownership group will decide they want to play in an existing arena, which is very nice, and be a tenant in kind of a turnkey situation, or do they want to own and develop their own arena? And we've got a good spot for them. So I think we're covered for eventualities for that ownership group to make a good market for them.
Hey, I'll be sure to tell Billy you said hello.
Would you?
I will. Promise.
Yeah, and again, I was very touched and see him recognized. And people now may not remember, but we do, that what a big deal it was, because games, not that many games were televised back then, when you came into a building and you didn't always even know that Packer and Thacker were there. Man, okay, we better put on our A game, because this is a big deal. And those guys were not just because of rarity, but they were so good at their craft and broadcasting the games. And I did that for a while, so I have a feel for it. And you even look back at the old broadcasts, they were great.
Sail with the pilot. Holly Farms, sail player of the pilot. Game.
Hey,
I won't say what, but I remember the signs, particularly the Duke fans, held about the pilot. We go there. But.
I don't think it was sail with, though, was it, Wally? It was something else they wanted
to
do.
I don't remember
pilot.
That part, yeah.
Hey, terrific to have you with us. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Appreciate you getting up early And thanks for sharing. Means a lot.
Oh, great. Great, guys. Really, really enjoyed it. My pleasure.
All right. Wally Walker, the MVP of the 1976 ACC championship, and just a heck of a guy.
Oh,
just a heck of a guy, and well-deserved to be on that banner with the numbers in Charlottesville, as they say.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Phil Ford coming up next hour. Amari Robinson from Clemson standing by as we continue to recognize the Unity Week in the ACC. Looking forward to talking to Amari. She'll join us next after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget our basketball coverage Thursday night. We cap it with Nothing But Net. Kelsey Riggs brings Kelly Gramlich, Muffet McGraw, Chelsea Gray to the set. They'll chronicle the night in the ladies' card and then get you ready for the big weekend. And then we'll do the same on Saturday. Kelsey's back with Luke Hancock, Carlos Boozer, and Joel Berry to review the day on the men's side and set you up for the final week of the regular season. By the way, this is the last weekend on the women's side, and they'll have all that for you starting on Thursday night about 10 o'clock here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
The pre-power hour continues. We go from one coast to another, right? Pacific Northwest to northwest corner in the great state of South Carolina.
Yeah, we move from, Seattle to Clemson, and Amari Robinson joins us to help us continue to honor and recognize Unity Week in the ACC. Amari, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. Thanks for being here.
All right, let's get to
it. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. This is a really important week for the ACC, and it's also cool for us to see what student-athletes are doing in terms of giving back to the community, the big picture. And this is something that's been part of your DNA, hasn't it? This is something that, hey, getting a chance to play hoops, which is great, quality education, which is great, but the ability to give back to community, I know, has really meant a lot to you.
Yes, it has. I think it's just so important to give back to the people that do so much for me throughout the years, whether I'm here at Clemson or back at home.
Amari, the work you do with the Clemson Life Program, and we're familiar a little bit, we've talked about it here on the program, it's for students that attend the university who have some disabilities. How did you get engaged with them in particular?
Clemson Life is just something that has really stuck out to me even before coming to Clemson. Being a special ed major, it's just something I really aspire to do and my people to work with. My sister has Down syndrome, so I'm always been around Special Olympics and just special education in general. So Clemson Life was just right up my alley. So it was just something I knew I had to get into when I got here.
Yeah, I was going to say that hits home. There's no question about that. Tiger Wonderland is also something that you've been involved with. Explain to folks what that is and how you get tied into it.
Yeah, so Tiger Wonderland is basically just we go out and buy different toys and things for a certain child of any age and basically just try to give back to them and make them have a Christmas they'll never forget.
That's awesome. Now, it's interesting. We've run, and you're one of several student-athletes we've talked to that see the bigger picture here, Amari, beyond just playing basketball, beyond just going to school. Where did that originate for you? Obviously, there had to be something at home. You mentioned your sister, things like that. There have to be other kind of starting points, right?
Oh, yeah. In high school and even in middle school, I was always a part of student government. So just trying to help my school in any way I can with all the creative events that we do throughout the year. And it just really stemmed from that and just making more of just being an athlete and being a student.
Hmm. How about the basketball part of this? I mean, you know, you got to balance all this stuff out, right? I don't think folks ever understand what a student athlete goes through because, man, there's just not enough hours in the day.
Yeah, you are right about that. I promise you, it's not an easy task. There is definitely a hard balance between basketball and school and still trying to, you know, give back to the community and get involved. But if it's something you want to do, you just got to make it work.
That's right.
All right, now, you're a member of the SAAC as well on campus, right, at Clemson? Is that right? Take folks through that journey and some of the issues and initiatives you guys have talked about.
Yeah, so being a part of SAC is new for me. This is my first year, so with the help of Skylar, she has been in it for a year now, so just trying to help figure out what it is that us as student athletes need and from our teams, and then getting it back to our athletic department and those above us, just to try to make those amends and meet in the middle as one.
Amari, does it feel like student athletes have a significant voice now on all college campuses? I mean, I'm sure you talk to peers at other institutions in and out of the ACC. Does it feel like student athletes these days have more of a presence in terms of what their goals are?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that we're being heard a lot more now with everything that's been going on in today's world. I think that now that we feel comfortable going to our administration and going to our athletic directors and coaches and letting them know what we need, I think is really helping us move forward and continue to tell them exactly what we need and how we can work together to get it accomplished.
Mari, your mom and dad were in the 1,000-point club. As far as your basketball is concerned here, no pressure. I know you got time to get there, but you're closing in on that big number, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I definitely got to keep it going with the Robinson family tradition, you know. I can't be the one to fall behind, so I'm trying my best.
Hey, your dad played at Notre Dame, so, I mean, how's that work? I mean, he checks the card, the alumni card in the pocket when Clemson plays Notre Dame, I'm going to guess here, right?
Oh, yeah. He has already been talking about it. They've actually made arrangements to come to the game in South Bend this Thursday, so he's all excited, talking about how he's going to go around the campus and show us around and show us his name and things like that. So he's really just over the top with it.
Listen, be sure to be nice to dear old dad.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you got to be nice to dad. I got two daughters.
I have to be nice to dad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You got to put up with it, and then all of a sudden you go, okay, dad, you got to get lost. I got a game to go play.
Right.
Before we let you go, since you've been in Clemson, here's our million-dollar question since you're making your debut. What has been your hardest class at Clemson University?
Oh, my hardest class. I would have to say anything history. I just can't do it. The lectures, the books, it's a struggle. Struggle bus.
Well, you know, but you grinded through it though, didn't you? Everything was okay.
Get through it.
There you go. That's the most important.
Tell you what, Amari Robinson and Clemson, good luck at Notre Dame on Thursday. Good luck going on the campus tour with dad. How's that? Maybe we should say good luck on the campus tour.
Thank you.
All right.
I know, right? That's probably more important.
There we go. Take care. Thank you so much. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right. Unity Week in the ACC continues. Thanks to Amari Robinson of Clemson. Had a great visit with Grant Gibson yesterday of NC State. Important initiatives for the student athletes. These are young people that are being active on their campus. Yeah.
Great stories.
No,
they're
question.
All great stories.
No question. All right. Power Hour coming up. Talk about a power. Braden Holloway is a dynasty coach.
Hardware.
Man, we will chronicle the swimming and diving title, another one for NC State. Carolina legend Phil Ford joins us at 9:30. But when we come back, three home teams won last night in the ACC. We'll recap it for you next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.